Chapter 13. Lunch was not exactly a fun scene. Mr. Reardon looked much worse than usual. He was the first to own up to it. Every once in a while, the chemotherapy really starts to take its role, he said. Bill, shouldn't you be in the hospital or something? Ed Keller asked rather bluntly. You could tell he was pretty upset at seeing an old friend looking like he was on his last legs. I should be, but I'd rather be here. I'm loaded with all these different drugs. One to fight the cancer, one to try to restore my immune system, another to keep me from throwing up, another to keep my heart stabilized. They couldn't do any more for me if I was in the hospital. I'd rather lie around and feel sorry for myself. Ed smoothed back his thinner hair and looked at the rest of us. He wanted to change the subject real bad. So what are you kids up to this summer? He asked Marina. That was her cue. I could tell she was nervous, but Marina wasn't going to back off from her plan. We're trying to stop you from bringing in chemical waste to burn in your incinerator, she said matter-of-factly, looking him straight in the eye. If possible, we'd like to close down the landfill and the incinerator altogether. I had to control myself to keep from laughing as Ed choked on his food. Mrs. Reisen looked a little embarrassed, but I saw a twinkle in the eye of Mr. Reisen. You have a feisty daughter there, old buddies, he said. I didn't want Keller to have a chance to change the subject too easily. He was a politician and a smooth talker. There's a couple of big problems with that whole waste disposal site, I told him. I waited for him to take the hook. For example, well, for one thing, it leaks. Major deadly stuff leaks, like heavy metals are leaking into the groundwater. I doubt that, Ed said politely. We've got good men who design that site. We hired the best environmental consultants money can buy to design the disposal field. Excuse me, sir, but I think you're mistaken. You didn't hire my father, and he was the best, is the best, and that's because money can't buy him. I was trying to throw Keller's own words back at him. He looked at me, and I knew that he knew just then precisely whose son he was looking at. I assure you, he said, now sounding more than ever like a politician giving a speech, that there are no problems with the landfill or the incinerator. It's all monitored on a regular basis. Tell that to the dead Merkinsers, Marina said, and handed him a copy of the lab report. Keller set his sandwich down, put on his glasses, and studied the report. Mr. Ryerson didn't seem to mind that we were less than polite to his lunch guest. In fact, he seemed to be enjoying the spectacle. Where'd you get this? He asked. We paid for it, I said. We found the dead birds outside of the landfill. There's a leak in the clay liner where the ash is dumped. That ash is full of all kinds of deadly stuff, and it's probably finding its way into the harbor. I don't think your consultants have figured on that. Ed, Mr. Reardon said, I'd consider it a personal favor if you'd go over there today with these two and check it out. He began to slide his chair back, away from the table. He hadn't eaten anything the whole time we sat there. I knew from what Marina had told me that it was hard for him to eat normal food. The chemotherapy had its side effects. And I guess Ed just couldn't bring himself to say no to an old man. To an old friend who looked in such rough shape. Sure, he said. Why not? I haven't been there for a long while. Let's do it. When Ed stopped at the Shell station for gas, I had to duck down so that no one would see me. Ed thought I was acting pretty weird, but then he thought we were both pretty strange kids. I never met a pair like you two before, he said. No, sir, I bet you never did, Marina said. Ed had phoned ahead, and Gibson was there waiting for us outside the concrete building. What are you doing with these two juvenile delinquents? Gibson asked right out. Easy, Ron. These are two very intelligent young people. Marina here is the daughter of an old hockey chum of mine. I see, Gibson said. Well, I had to call the police to haul these kids out of here the day before yesterday. They came around like they were on some kind of campaign or something, and started accusing me of all sorts of things. Hmm, Ed said, not really wanting to get in the middle of a tangle. Under normal circumstances, we're quite polite, sir, I said to Gibson. I looked around towards the landfill and saw the bulldozers at work near the ash pit. I could see that they had carved out a large hole and were transferring the ash to dump trucks. The dump trucks were the trundling off to another part of the huge landfill. You believed us, I said to Gibson, pointing to the dozers at work. You know we were telling the truth. The crud that comes out of that ash is leaking out of here and into the stream. I felt a kind of rush go through me. For a minute, I thought we were gaining ground. All of us were looking towards the dozer at work now. Oh, that, Gibson said, we're just doing a routine transfer of the old ash towards the center of the landfill. Happens twice a year. We let it pack down, condense, and then we bury it deeper and cover it up. I was sure this wasn't the way things worked. They knew that they had a leak and they wanted to fix it before it could be proven. Ed was scratching his chin and trying to size up the situation. He took out the lab report and handed it over to Gibson. Gibson seemed unflustered. I've seen this before. It looks convincing, doesn't it? What do you mean? Ed asked. I mean that I checked it out with the people at Quality Labs. They say that they never did any tests on any birds. The best they can figure is somebody faked one of their lab reports. I'd say there's some pretty fancy con artists around, he said, looking at Marina and then at me. You know, sometimes people just want to cause trouble for the sake of causing trouble. I guess Marina had heard that line once too often, because even before I could respond, she let go and kicked Gibson hard in the shin. And I mean hard. Gibson fell over onto the ground and grabbed onto his leg. A couple of other workers nearby had stopped in their tracks and started laughing. Ed looked really flustered. He held out a hand to help Gibson up. I'm sorry about this, Ron. I didn't know this would happen. This man's a liar, I told Ed. I also know why Quality Labs decided to change their mind about the report. Whoever tested the birds didn't know where they came from. But when his boss found out, it was a different story because this is their project. They did the study giving the okay for his landfill. And they're in on the new deal to burn the chemical stuff. Gibson and his men are fixing up the leak so that it will be harder for us to prove that his place is unsafe. But what about the next leak? And what about the next batch of dead birds or poisoned drinking water? Ed saw that I was getting red in the face and really losing my cool. But he didn't say anything to me. I think you should apologize to Mr. Gibson, Ed said to Marina. Sorry, Mr. Gibson, Marina said and kicked Gibson again on his other leg.